Let's bow our heads just before we sit down. Gracious God, thank you for your word. Would you please send the Spirit now to make that word living and active in our hearts and minds? And as we think about your word, Lord, fill us with the power of your Spirit. Fire us, Lord, all to the glory of your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today we begin a new series on prayer, and the titles are Persistent Prayer, that's next week, and then Priestly Prayer, Jacob's Prayer, Believer's Prayer, and Desperate Prayer. Today's title is Pentecost Prayer, and during this series, we'll look at some of the things the Bible says about prayer. Now, to say that prayer is a vital part of your spiritual growth and the health of the church is really to state the obvious. I hope we all agree that prayer is needed, it's necessary if we're going to grow as disciples, and if this church is going to extend its reach out into the community and make new disciples. We need prayer. Prayer is our conversation with God. We speak to Him in prayer. When we commit to it, we commit to building a strong relationship with Him. We say that this matters. I'm going to set aside time now, and I'm going to be in conversation with the Lord. He hears us when we pray. He answers our prayer, and He shapes us as we pray. So the whole act of entering into prayer is meant to be a conscious move to get closer to God and to communicate with Him. So I hope we agree it's necessary and it's needed. But in the rush of everyday life, we all need to hit the refresh button from time to time. Why? Well, because we so easily neglect it. We so easily neglect prayer. Or we make time for prayer, but sometimes we slip into using it for selfish reasons. Instead of praying God, others, and then myself, we turn it into me, myself, and I. And that happens pretty easily. So let's refresh the prayer page today. Okay, pretend we're on a prayer website, and you move the mouse up and you hit the refresh button. And let's go to the book of Acts and see what it says about prayer. And we begin this series on prayer in the context of today, which is the day of Pentecost, when we give thanks that God poured out the Holy Spirit and continues to pour out the Spirit on His people. So I'd like to say three things about prayer today. Pentecost prayer is, first of all, patient prayer. It's very patient. One of the reasons I struggle with it, I have to be patient. To get the full picture of the day of Pentecost and how prayer was involved, we need to go back 10 days before to the day of the Ascension. That was the day Jesus rose back into heaven 40 days after Resurrection Sunday. Listen to Acts 1, verse 4. Acts 1, verse 4, which says, "On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, He gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about.'" So notice that this is not a gentle request made to friends. It's a command given by the Lord to His disciples. It was the command to stay and the command to wait until God's gift was given. Now, from our perspective, 10 days is not a very long time. Not really. But imagine it from the disciples' perspective. They just spent 40 amazing days with Jesus after the resurrection. They were being taught. They were being prepared. And Luke tells us that during the 40 days, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, wouldn't it be amazing to be there and to hear all the things that He said? And we don't have those things. We can only imagine what it was He exactly said. But He was preparing them and giving them the advanced teaching that they would need to then go tell others and say, "This is what God's kingdom is like, and would you like to come and meet the King? Come to Him in faith and be changed." Well, in that time of waiting over the 10 days, one of the temptations surely would have been to simply get going with the work that God gave them to do. Jesus had already told them about the kingdom of God. They'd seen the miracles. They knew enough to get started. They could get busy with the great commission He gave them. He gives it at the end of Matthew's gospel, "Go and make disciples." So why not get started now? At least, you know, form a committee and write some bylaws, recruit and train the leaders, and find the volunteers. But instead, before engaging with the Great Commission, Jesus said, hurry back to Jerusalem, but then wait. Wait, be patient. Now Luke tells us what the disciples were expecting to get at the end of the waiting period. In Acts 1, verse 6, they asked Jesus if he's going to restore the kingdom to Israel. That's what they thought would happen and what they thought should happen. After all, that would have vindicated Jesus and proven who he really is. The Pharisees and the Romans would have had their comeuppance, and they would have seen he's the king. So that's what they wanted, and that's what they expected. But Jesus said, no, wait. Go back to Jerusalem, guys, and wait. And he said, wait for the gift my Father promised. Now, he'd already told them that the gift is the Holy Spirit. That's clear from Acts 1:8. But in the meantime, during the wait, what were they supposed to do? What do you do? Well, listen to Acts 1:14, which is right after they've gone back to Jerusalem. Here's what they did. They all joined together, constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So here we see the early church committing itself to constant, patient prayer. They had all the knowledge they needed. They knew who Jesus was. They had all the teaching they needed, which had already changed their lives. But Jesus told them to wait to receive the power, so they did. But as they waited, they did the best thing they could do. They didn't work on their strategic plan. Now, that was important, and that was something they'd have to work on later as they figured out actually how to go out and make disciples. No, instead they waited patiently and they prayed. So patient prayer is part of Pentecost prayer. Pentecost prayer is also something else. It's also expectant prayer. It expects something to happen. Listen to Acts 1, verses 5 and 8. Jesus said, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, try to imagine the small group of maybe 20, 25, or 30 gathered for patient prayer. We don't have the exact details of what they prayed for during the waiting period, but we know enough. Twice they were told to expect the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, Jesus tells them that they'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, which in the original language means to be plunged or immersed, just like a boat that's submerged in the water. So he's saying, you're going to be covered and soaked in the Holy Spirit. So with this in their minds, they would have anticipated something huge happening as they prayed. And it's safe to say that their level of anticipation would have been very high. You can imagine being there, knowing something was going to happen, not sure when, but praying with expectation that God was going to move. And they'd been told that it involved the Holy Spirit, so it was going to be huge. Power was going to come from God, so they prayed with great expectation. Speaking of great expectations, I wonder how many of you got up early and watched the royal wedding yesterday. Anybody get up at the dreaded time of, what time was it? 4 a.m. or something? 3 a.m. Oh, that's even worse. Now, some of you probably set the PVR and taped it. Or like me, the really lazy ones, you watched it later online after the fact. Well, when it comes to expectation, there's nothing like a royal wedding, right? Those royal weddings are amazing. Just incredible show. Hopefully more than that too, but just incredible. But when Harry and Meghan's engagement was announced last year, it seemed like May 2018 was a long way off. But as the date got closer, the media ratcheted up the attention to a fever pitch, and all of a sudden, it's top of the news. We knew the date. We knew it was coming. And we expected something big to happen, and it did. It delivered as a royal wedding does. We weren't disappointed. The disciples didn't know exactly what the gift of the Holy Spirit would look like, or when it would be given, or how it would be given. Jesus didn't say exactly that it would happen on the day of Pentecost, but it's a great day. It's a festival harvest day, 50 days after the Passover. All he said was that something's going to happen, so expect God to do something big. At the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus says, I am going to send you what my Father promised. But stay in the city. For what? Until you have been clothed with power from on high. Clothed. New clothes of power being put on you. That's about as big as it gets. Power from on high means that God's power is going to move from heaven. So as they prayed with expectant hearts. And they prayed patiently. So the final thing about prayer here is this. Pentecost prayer is also devoted prayer. It's devoted. It keeps on praying. It never stops. One of the biggest challenges for any Christian is this challenge, the challenge to be disciplined in your spiritual growth. In the area of spiritual growth, what's the first thing to go when you get tired or too busy? It's usually prayer. Usually it's the first thing to go out the window. I'm too busy for that. I don't have time. I have all these things to do. I have to get going. I'm too busy to pray. But then we look at the disciples here. We see them not just praying, but continually praying. They didn't stop. At the very end of Luke's gospel in the last verse, it says they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Jesus had told them to stay in Jerusalem, and so they interpreted that as meaning, well, we have to be in the temple every day to pray and to praise God. And then on the day of Pentecost, we find them in their house, gathered again together in prayer, and notice that they're praying at the very moment the Holy Spirit comes in power. Not by accident. Not by accident. And then once the Spirit is poured out in a dramatic way, you might wonder how they'd respond. Would they keep praying? Or would they then move out in the great power of the Spirit and forget about patient and expectant prayer? Now that they had what they'd been promised, what was the point of patience and expectation? Wasn't it now time to seize that power and go make disciples? It was time to go and make disciples. It was, but it never stopped being a time to pray. From what we see of the disciples, their correct response was to keep on being patient and expectant in their prayer life. And they did this by being devoted. Listen to the description of the early church right after Peter's Pentecost sermon. This was right after 3,000 new believers were added. It says, beginning in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Here's what they did after the day of Pentecost. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And to prayer. You know, it would have been tempting and easy to bask in the glow of this amazing church growth and to keep the excitement going without prayer. Wouldn't it be tempting for us if 10 new people were made believers right now in this service? And we might be tempted in that moment to keep the excitement going without prayer. But these disciples, they know that prayer is absolutely crucial for anyone who follows Jesus Christ. They resisted the temptation to make Peter the focus of all of their excitement and to give him the credit. They didn't do that. They wisely and humbly stayed connected to their spiritual disciplines, biblical apostolic teaching, fellowship with each other, the Lord's Supper and eating together, and prayer. Prayer, which surrounded it, connected it, gave it life, and built that relationship with the living God. So that's a snapshot of Pentecost prayer. It waits patiently for the Lord to act and to move. It expects the Lord to act and move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it keeps on praying with commitment for the kingdom of God to be extended into the hearts of new people. The other night, we were sitting in the living room before dinner, and Christine had just asked me what I was preaching on this Sunday. So I gave a summary of my points. And then my son asked me one of those questions that comes easily to teenagers. I love the questions that teenagers ask because they're not interested in the outward veneer of Christianity. They don't care about that. That's the worst thing you can show them. They're interested in the real faith that doesn't smell of hypocrisy and pretension. They want to know that faith in Christ makes a real difference to how you live and to how you face everything that comes at you in life. So his question was this. I tell you, the question really put me on the spot. Dad, is there ever a time when you find it hard to pray? God bless him. I thought about it and I answered truthfully. I was tempted to be a little sneaky, but I wasn't. I said, yes, there are days when I don't make enough time for prayer. There are days when I don't make enough time for prayer. There are days when my own prayer life isn't patient, isn't expectant, and it's not devoted. How are you doing in your prayer life? How's it going in your prayer life? Where are you growing, and where do you need work? Can I ask you to commit to a season of prayer here at Church of Our Lord? I'd like to ask you to do that. And join me as we seek the Lord's will together. As we get ready to implement a new strategic plan, which you'll hear more about next Sunday, we need our plan to be covered, to be soaked, to be immersed in prayer with this kind of Pentecost prayer. And if you're willing, then commit with me today to do this. Let's use this model. Be patient in prayer. Be expectant in prayer. And be devoted in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Loving Father, we thank you so much that you are with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you gave what was promised, the Holy Spirit. Lord, remind us of this need we have to pray continually as the disciples, to be patient, to be expectant, to be devoted. And Lord, thank you that you hear us and you answer. We pray in the name of the living Lord Jesus. Amen.